Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we go immediately to the South China Sea through the eyes of James Fennell, retired U.S. Navy captain who served as Director of Intelligence Information Operations of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. Jim, a very good day to you. You're also at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. The report from the South China Sea is positive. The Philippines have resupplied at the Second Thomas Shoals, their presence, a craft that's not going to move but has been harassed by Chinese agents these last weeks. Does this resupply solve the crisis, or does it continue in your measure, Captain? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John and Gordon. Yes, this is a continuing problem that's been going on for a decade, where China has been threatening the Philippines holding at Second Thomas Shoal, which is in the southern portion of the South China Sea. And in 1999, the Republic of the Philippines, in a kind of a desperate move to ensure that China couldn't take over the shoal and expand as they have done at other places in the Spratly Islands, which are in the southern South China Sea, they ran a U.S. ex-World War II amphibious warship aground there. It's now been named the Sierra Madre, and it's been there since 1999, and they've been rotating Philippine Navy personnel on and off the grounded amphibious ship over these last 2 decades, and they also resupply them with food and water and letters from home and whatnot. So they've been doing that. And at certain times, the PRC has tried to intervene, especially heavily in 2013, 2014 is really when it started, and then 2015. And now a decade later, we saw activity in August 5th, and now here on September 8th, another effort to try to block the resupply of these Philippine sailors. So this is a continuing problem, a continuing threat to the Philippine sovereignty over something that's well within their exclusive economic zone and not more than 60, 80 miles off their coast. And China just continues to seem to be right now accelerating this. And I think in part because of the new administration in Manila that is less inclined to look the other way about Chinese expansionism and control over the South China Sea.
Gordon, a question here about the China's ambitions in the South China Sea, and it's brushing up against the Philippines. Is this to elicit a response? Are they looking to see what the Philippines has supporting Manila's decision-making? Or is this something that they just do because that's in the assignment that day? Is there some larger strategy that China's developing with these incidents?
The larger strategy, John, I think, is to continue pressure and find a weak point. And eventually they will break through and they'll grab some shoal or some island. Like, for instance, they took Mischief Reef decades ago. And I think we're going to see more of this. I think Beijing wants a confrontation. They believe that they can manage a crisis because in the past, American administrations have always backed down. So they think that they can create a crisis, rally the Chinese people, and not pay a cost. And so far, they've been successful in that.
And a detail, Gordon, the CNN report emphasizes that this is a Chinese Coast Guard ship. Is that significant that they're saying Coast Guard and not the PLA and Navy?
Well, it is significant in one sense, but we got to remember that the gray hulls, the Chinese Navy, and the white hulls, which are the Coast Guard, plus the blue ones, which are the Marine militia, they all act in coordination. So China believes that it can get a public relations advantage by not using a gray hull, but they all work together. And in Second Thomas Shoal, we have seen all three types of hulls recently.
You have a question for our friend Jim.
Jim, what was different about this last confrontation over the last couple of days was that the U.S. flew a plane over Second Thomas Shoal as the Chinese were pressuring the Philippine resupply measure. What do you think is the calculation in the United States right now with regard to the use of force?
Well, Gordon, I think I saw that and I noted it as well. What the report didn't say is whether or not it was coordinated with the Filipinos. And the way it read, it almost sounded as if the Philippine Defense Department was not aware or not been made aware of the presence of this U.S., presumably a reconnaissance aircraft ahead of time. So that's a little bit worrisome that we would not have already pre-coordinated. Hopefully that's a misinterpretation on my part, but it did seem to indicate that in the article. So I'm worried about that because that would then answer your question, which is to say that we're still very timid and afraid of emboldening, quote unquote, emboldening Manila to draw us into a confrontation with China in the South China Sea, which I think is the exact wrong approach. I said that 10 years ago when I was still in uniform. We should be standing by our treaty ally and telling the China that, hey, the rules in international relations are you don't bully people. And oh, by the way, you signed a declaration on a code of conduct that said that you would not do these kinds of things, China. So you are the aggressor and we will defend the weaker, undefended ally, the Philippines. And so I think that's where I hope we're at. I'm hearing and seeing and reading more calls about asking the U.S. Navy, the U.S. 7th Fleet to help the Philippine Navy escort their ships in so that they can conduct resupplies. And even one article today from a guy named Blake Herzinger said that we should be helping the Filipinos not just resupply the grounded Sierra Madre, but that we should be helping them build a facility there so that there could be a proper, essentially a base. It would be quite small, and it would be very little reclaimed land compared to what China's done over the last decade at these major seven bases that they built. So, I mean, I think we're moving in that direction, but if we don't put the make some more clear, unambiguous statements and also show our military presence, I think that China will do what you just said, which is to continue to look for vulnerabilities and exploit the situation. And eventually they want to take this from Manila. They'd rather not. They were happy with Duterte. They got basically free rein to do what they wanted in the South China Sea when Duterte was there. And now the new administration of Marcos, they're being much more vocal and saying, hey, this is not yours. This is ours. And how dare you? And so the United States is now being, you know, kind of put on the spot. Are we going to stand up and show them the support that a treaty ally has, or are we going to back away like we did in 2012 at Scarborough Shoal?
Jim, 30 seconds. Will basing at Palawan help this whole story, putting an air base there, putting a naval base on the shores of the South China Sea? 30 seconds.
Yes, it will. That's the bottom line answer. It will help us, but it will provide us continuous presence. And so we should be accelerating that.
Palawan Island is one of the two places, I believe, that recently the Biden administration has signed on to develop U.S. bases, the other one being Luzon, the main island in the north. Jim Fennell is a former U.S. Navy captain, retired now. He was head of intelligence and information operations of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, knows the South China Sea very well. He's now at the Geneva Center for Security Policy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anna Bay collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out. where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.